We thank God for all that He's done this last weekend, and we celebrate between Good Friday, Resurrection Sunday, a meaningful time with God in His presence. There's no greater gift from God than His presence. Amen? And in those moments where you meet with God and God changes our lives, it was also this last weekend it was most people gathered together to worship Jesus since I've been here at Grace. And I say that to encourage you because you've invited family and friends and taken some relationship risks. And with those invitations, God changes lives. And people are coming to God, and there's healing, there's restoration. We're seeing people even last weekend come to know Jesus. They want to get baptized, want to start serving here at Grace, get involved in a life group. And God's doing all this. To God be the glory. Can we just thank God for all the blessings right now that we're seeing? This Friday, we're gathering together at 7 for a vision night. We don't do this very often. It's very significant. God's doing something new at Grace, and there's going to be a lot of some testimonies, worship, a lot of different things happening this Friday night at 7. And today, we're in Exodus chapter 5. Only 3 weeks left in this series. We're not going to cover the entire book of Exodus. You can continue to read, but in this series, we're focusing on the freedom that God brings. Exodus, a way out, and how God moves, both as He calls us, and then there's freedom in Jesus' name. We step out of traps. We step out of the patterns of this world. God is a voice we can trust. And today's a message that you know God has called you. And if that calling has been challenging, there's going to be some encouragement today. We're going to look at some realities. If you feel like you've been in a battle lately, and you know that battle's real, there's some different dynamics to that battle that we see in Exodus chapter 5. And then there's also some encouragement, and there's some victory, because God prevails. He has the final say, and God does an inner work before the outer victories. It's the inner victory, and I believe that's what God wants to do today inside of us through His Word and His Spirit. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we rely on You at every step. We give You thanks for every blessing. We're grateful to be here today. We give You all the glory. And God, thank You for Your Word, this gift, this eternal Word that strengthens us, that builds us up, that gives us Your perspective. God, that You are powerful, that You are mighty, that You prevail. God, renew our minds today. And I pray You do a deep work in our souls today as we say yes to You in the calling, the character, God, that You're forging ahead. And we trust You. We pray in Your name, Jesus. Amen. Sometimes God calls you to take it back, to take back what belongs to the Lord. When Moses and Aaron show up and say, "Let my people go," they're telling Pharaoh that what's happening here is not okay, that slavery is wrong, and that God wants to set His people free. God wants His people back, purpose, praise, all of this freedom that God wants to bring Pharaoh, it doesn't belong to you. And we have an enemy that wants to steal, kill, and destroy, the Bible says, but Jesus gives us abundant life. There's a spiritual battle. There's a battle between light and darkness. You might not know someone named Pharaoh, but there might be someone who rises up in your life and is kind of that bully and is trying to hold you back and trying to really be an obstacle to all God has called you to be and say and do and live. And how do you handle that kind of intense opposition? No, the people don't belong to Pharaoh. They belong to God. Pharaoh does not have the final say. God has the final say. And there's points in your life where you have to take it back. You have to say, "Enemy, it does not belong to you, but I'm taking back my peace. I'm taking back my joy. I'm taking back the marriage. I'm taking back the calling. I'm taking back the purity. I'm taking back this city. God, I'm taking back what You, it belongs to You, and it's for You, but the enemy has tried to come in and block things. And the status quo is not okay. There's going to be change in Jesus' name." And that's the posture we take as we see the battle played out. As the calling is challenging, we're going to walk by faith. We're going to trust God's Word. What does God's Word say? Look at Exodus chapter 5, starting in verse 1. "Afterward, Moses and Aaron went to Pharaoh, and they said, 'This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, let my people go, so that they may hold a festival to me in the desert.' Pharaoh said, 'Who is the Lord that I should obey Him and let Israel go?' I do not know the Lord, and I will not let Israel go. Then they said, the God of the Hebrews has met with us. Now let us take a 3-day journey into the desert to offer sacrifices to the Lord our God, or he may strike us with plagues or with the sword. Moses and Aaron in this context are 80 years old. And in their 80s, they've seen enough. They are answering the call in their 80s. When we are in our 80s, Lord willing, if we're not with Jesus yet, may we be faithful to answer the call. And they are not shrinking back from their assignment, even though it's difficult. They've seen enough slavery, no to the status quo. Moses and Aaron aren't playing anymore. And that can be a very good thing. When you get serious about God and his work, and you're done going sideways and backwards, and you see the injustice, and you don't want it anymore, and you're ready for change, you might be exactly where God wants you. In fact, there's a holy stirring and a holy restlessness before you take action that's necessary, and it's a work that God does on the inside. Pharaoh responds with, who is the Lord? I don't know the Lord. And then there's warnings. Plagues are coming, Pharaoh. Plagues are coming because God is sovereign, not you. And there's a warning with the plagues. Love warns. Love warns. God's warnings in Scripture. When someone cares about you and they give you a warning, don't go that way. The bridge is out. Don't keep staying in that sin. Don't live a double life. When there's a warning to you, take heed. Don't fall. Return to the Lord. And Pharaoh gets a warning. God loves. There's a message to repent. Don't keep going in that foolish direction. Turn around. For Moses and Aaron, they start out strong. This feels pretty good. They're on point and they're anticipating a victory. Moses, after being called and 40 years into his life, he knew he was called. He knew there would be a deliverance. And yet what happened? He didn't trust God and he murdered a man. So he spent 40 years in the wilderness and he didn't want to step into this call again. Don't let past failure define you. Moses then had to receive God's grace, receive the calling that he already had in a fresh way, and now return. And as he returns to Pharaoh, it took a lot of courage for Moses and Aaron to say, let God's people go. It took a lot of courage in their 80s to enter into this point. And right here, they're feeling pretty good. They're thinking as they proclaim the word of the Lord, God's going to move. Let's see what happens. Now, this is how Pharaoh responds in verse 4. But the king of Egypt said, Moses and Aaron, why are you taking the people away from their labor? Get back to your work. Then Pharaoh said, look, the people of the land are now numerous, and you are stopping them from working. That same day, Pharaoh gave this order to the slave drivers and foremen in charge of the people. You are no longer to supply the people with straw for making bricks. Let them go and gather their own straw. But require them to make the same number of bricks as before. Don't reduce the quota. They are lazy. This is why they're crying out, let us go and sacrifice to our God. Make them work harder. For the men that they will keep working and will pay no attention to all of these lies. Look how Pharaoh responds. The workload increases. The demands increase. Moses and Aaron say, let my people go. And now Pharaoh's going to be more harsh. There are going to be more people that are beaten. And Pharaoh says, all this nonsense about God and worship, it's a bunch of lies. These people are lazy. The people are not lazy, and these are not lies. And the plagues are not false warnings. Pharaoh takes something that's good, their diligent work, and twists it and says they're lazy. He takes the truth about God and twists it and says these are lies. There are people who are constantly twisting God's word and then painting him to be someone he is not. God is great. God is holy. God is good. God is pure. God is loving. God is gracious. Some people have a tainted view of God or just try to reject God. That's Pharaoh. Doesn't have a fear of the Lord. The Bible says that same day. He doesn't waste any time. Moses and Aaron say, let my people go. And he doesn't even pause or delay. That same day, right away, no fear of God. He says, it will not happen. And here's his solution. He says these people have too much time. They're dreaming about this worship and about this God. This is what we're going to do. No more straw will be provided. The people have to go get their own straw. They will combine it with clay and sand, and they will make the same number of bricks. There's times when you shine the light in the darkness, and the darkness will double down and commit to even being darker. You hope by bringing the light, the darkness is going to realize the difference between light and darkness. But some darkness is stubborn and will say, no, you thought I was dark before. Now look at how dark I'm going to be. That's Pharaoh's response. And the truth is, Moses and Aaron are a real threat. They're a real threat to Pharaoh being on his own throne. They're a real threat to Pharaoh trying to push God down. You are the light of the world, and you are a threat to the darkness. That's who you are. You're the light of the world, and the darkness doesn't want the light, but you need to keep shining your light. Don't let the darkness put out your light. You shine the light even brighter. You choose faith over fear. And remember, rejection and opposition, it can rattle your faith. For all of us, when there's some opposition or rejection, rejection hurts all of us. You might love God with all your heart, but your heart still hurts when you're rejected. You might be walking with God in faithfulness, but it still stings. It's still painful when people put you down and slander you and gossip against you and try to come against you. All of that still hurts. We're all sensitive. None of us are robots. We're human. We feel things. And we want people to approve and applaud and agree and be aligned with God and be for everything that's good. But the reality is there's a spiritual battle. And how is it going to play out? Look at verse 10. Then the slave drivers and the foremen, they went out and said to the people, this is what Pharaoh says. I will not give you any more straw. Go and get your own straw wherever you can find it. But your work will not be reduced at all. So the people scattered all over Egypt to gather stubble to use for straw. The slave drivers kept pressing them and saying, complete the work required of you for each day, just as when you had straw. The Israelites' foremen appointed by Pharaoh, slave drivers, they were beaten and they were asked, why didn't you meet your quota of bricks yesterday, today, or before? Then the Israelites' foremen went and appealed to Pharaoh. They said, why have you treated your servants this way? Your servants are given no straw, yet we're told, make bricks. Your servants are being beaten, but the fault is with your own people. Pharaoh said, lazy. That's what you are, lazy. That is why you keep saying, let us go and sacrifice to the Lord. Now get to work. You will not be given any straw. You must produce your full quota of bricks. The Israelite foremen realized they were in trouble when they were told, you are not to reduce the number of bricks required of you for each day. Not everyone wants you to serve God. Not everyone wants you to have the freedom of the Holy Spirit. Not everyone wants you to live out your purpose. Not everyone wants to see you use your gifts to bless other people locally and globally. There are going to be some people who rise up and don't want you to glorify God like you can. It gets worse before it gets better. In your calling, there's going to be points where it gets worse before it gets better. Don't be discouraged. God hasn't left you. But it's a testing. It's a time of testing for Moses and Aaron. Turn to the person next to you and say, this is just a test. Just a test. And then the other direction, say, this is a time of testing. This is a time of testing right now. It's a test. The truth is, you can be faithful to God and suffering even more than you were before. You can be faithful to God and people treat you worse than they did before. It's not mutually exclusive. Some people think that if I serve God and I love God and I'm faithful to Jesus, like life's just going to get easier and easier and more people are going to approve and it's going to be awesome. Well, Moses and Aaron would be the first to tell you that sometimes you're faithful and you're misunderstood. You're judged and it hurts. Now, there's going to be times in your walk with God where you don't get the results you want. Moses and Aaron were probably hoping that as they said, let the people go, the people would start to have more freedom. But it's the opposite. The people are in even more bondage and more of them are getting beaten. There's going to be times when you're following God where things aren't going how you want with your family and with your finances, with your work, your career, your ministry. And you're going to wonder, what do I do right now? Disappointment shows up and there's a tendency in our flesh to be insecure. We get weary and tired on many levels, and it can lead to a feeling of insecurity. When there's immense pain, sometimes we get insecure. But the good news is that God's calling and his character haven't changed. God's purpose and plans, he's going to prevail. And it's not about our feelings of insecurity. It's about the security we find in our rock who has the final say. And you have to sometimes remind yourself that God's calling in my life and God's gifting and God's power and God's purpose for my life is still intact. Pharaoh hasn't taken it away. Don't give the Pharaohs too much power. There will always be mean people. There will always be bullies and there will always be those who oppose Christ. And their words to you will be never. And sometimes they're abusive. You're never going anywhere. You're never going to do anything for God. As long as I'm here, you're never going to be anything. And their voice says, you are no good. There's no meaning in your life. There's no hope. There's no future. You have no voice. I have the final say. That's a bully. That's an abuser. That's Pharaoh. You need to shut that voice down. Don't let the way people treat you and insults and all of the unfair hardships that they try to add to your life. Don't let that taint your view of God and his goodness and his faithfulness. You got to keep your trust in God. Keep trusting Jesus. Jesus actually said, blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, falsely say all kinds of evil against you. Blessed are you. Great is your reward in heaven. When they keep throwing shade and hate at you, you just keep saying, more rewards coming in heaven. More rewards coming. What an honor to suffer for Jesus. I just want to glorify God. I'm going to keep my eyes on the Lord. That's the posture to take. And in times like this, you know that you know the battle is on. The battle's real. Your calling is good, but there's those who oppose it. There's light and darkness. There's good and evil. There's the devil and there's God. And all of this gets played out. The battle is on and how do we respond? I believe the battle's on in 2024. I look at the statistics with pastors that Barner reports and how many of them are discouraged and how many of them are drifting towards sin and how many of them are thinking, I'm going to get out of the ministry, and they're called by God, they're gifted by God, but it's a temptation to just go sideways or backwards and say, I don't want the call anymore. When you think about churches and how many churches have been shutting down the last few years, more churches are shutting down than being raised up, and we need more churches planted and we want to reach more people. But as you look at the numbers, as you look at our nation the last couple decades and the decline spiritually and morally, it's easy to see that the battle's on. When the size of the churches where people gather and they get in the word and worship keeps shrinking and now it's below 70 people per church and you see what's happening right now, you've got to realize the battle on. The battle's on. So how do you respond? I encourage you to keep your confidence in God. The battle belongs to the Lord. Read the end of your Bible. Know that God prevails. Look at what God's promises are. The gates of hell won't prevail against it. Stay the course. Keep going with Jesus. God has not fallen off the throne. He has not lost control. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Sometimes the victory is just not giving up. I'm not going to give up. I'd like to say there's a turnaround right here, but it's coming a little later. And there's another aspect of this battle that we need to be aware of and then receive the encouragement from the Lord. In verse 20, when they left Pharaoh, they found Moses and Aaron waiting to meet them. And they said, now these are the Israelite foremen, the leaders. They said to Moses and Aaron, may the Lord look upon you and judge you. You have made us a stench to Pharaoh, and his officials have put a sword in their hand to kill us. Religious people will undermine your vision. And sometimes those you don't expect to come against you will attack you. These are the Israelite foremen. And what do they say to Moses and Aaron? May the Lord judge you. What they're saying is, we judge you. We look down upon you. May the Lord judge you is kind of their decree. And yet, what's the truth? They've been faithful to God. Is God going to judge Moses and Aaron for being faithful? No, he's not. They are faithful. They stand up to Pharaoh and say, let my people go. What the foremen don't like were the initial results. And it's Pharaoh who brings that. Now, Moses and Aaron are going to be seen as the cause of the people's problems right here. And sometimes when you're serving God, people are going to use you as the scapegoat. And you're going to be seen as the cause of the problems when actually you're being faithful to God. Now, the foremen, if they had clear spiritual sight, they could have said, the enemy, their ancient foe, Satan, the devil, is at work here. They could have said that. They could have said, Pharaoh has a hard heart and he's against God. They could have said that. They could have said, these slave drivers that work for Pharaoh are violent, they bring more injustice, and they are going to have to be accountable to God one day. They could have said those things, right? That would have been theologically accurate. That would have been a solid place to land. But what do they say instead? They turn against Moses and Aaron and say, may the Lord judge you. There's going to be people who turn on you unexpectedly. I think Moses and Aaron probably didn't anticipate that the foremen, the leaders, would come against them like this. But when you look at the Bible, Moses is going to be dealing with this over and over and over again. David deals with this again and again. Job, in his suffering, has to deal with his religious friends who are terrible counselors, who pile on shame, and they kick him when he's down. And he has to deal with them again and again and again. And Jesus himself, who's perfect, had to deal with the disciples who denied him, who deserted him, and even went against him. Judas. There's going to be times, and it hurts more. It hurts more. It's one thing when Pharaoh, who you know has a hard heart and a bad track record, comes up against you. But it's a whole nother thing when you anticipate that someone's on your team, we're serving God together, there's going to be freedom together, and they come against you and they stab you in the back. That hurts more. The people who are closest to you can hurt you the deepest. And I think this stung. When the leaders say, may the Lord judge you, Aaron and Moses, what they don't realize, these religious folk don't realize, is that God is doing a new thing. And it's going to be a process. And initially, it might not feel good. But new wine doesn't go in old wineskins. Those old wineskins don't want new wine. And so there's tension right there. And these leaders, they're only going to trust God if it's easy, if it's comfortable, if they like the results, and it matches their preferences. And I got to tell you, there's a whole lot of people in ministry that will travel with you until it's not their preferences, it's not initially what they liked, and it's something new that they didn't vote for. Yep. And what happens? May the Lord judge you for that. And the foreman could walk by faith right here if they're listening to God. You know what's interesting as you look through the journey for the Israelites and going into the promised land? It's the remnant and it's the small number that's listening to God, that knows God's word and has confidence in God. And it's the majority that just go for circumstances and feelings and preferences. It's the majority. Now, Numbers chapter 13, they had an opportunity to go into the promised land. God already gave it. Why is it called the promised land? Because God already promised it for the people. Okay? When God says it, believe it. Now, this is what happened. Moses sent out 12 spies. Caleb, there were two of them, Caleb and Joshua, that had a different spirit. Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. That's a good report. God, we align with your word. We're trusting you. Let's go forward. But the men, 10 of them, 10 of the 12 spies who had gone up with him to take a look at the promised land, said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. Now, what else? And they spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. They said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there. The descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes, and we looked the same to them. Two come back and say, with a good report, let's go for what God says and all God has for us. And 10 of them come back, and because they walk by sight and not by faith, and they see the challenges, and they see that the people in the land have no fear of God, and they're sinful, and they're violent, and they have weapons, and just to the eyeball test alone, they say, there's no way we're going to walk by faith. It's a bad idea. We better retreat. And they keep staring at the challenges until they shrink like grasshoppers in their own eyes. Have you ever come up against a Pharaoh and been intimidated? And you know what happens when you got a bully that's mean, someone like a Pharaoh? You just keep shrinking and shrinking and shrinking until you feel like a grasshopper. And the only way to overcome a Pharaoh is to take your eyes off Pharaoh and take your eyes onto God, who's greater. And you might need to remind yourself, I'm not a grasshopper. I'm a child of God, made in the image of God, with the purposes and the hope of God. And I will not be a grasshopper. And it was the 10 other leaders, the religious folks, who said, we can't do it. God's not great enough. The challenges are too big. Let's just stay in the wilderness. And their report spread to a generation that spent 40 years in that wilderness, going in circles, not going into the land that God wanted them to take and have and enjoy. A whole generation. Be careful with your negativity. Be careful with your cynicism. Because when it comes out of your mouth, O-10, you might just stop 2 million. And when you have a good report and you trust the Lord and you know His word and you proclaim Jesus, you might just inspire a generation to go take the blessings that God earned. Has for them. And now we come up to verse 22, and here's the internal battle, the inner battle that God wants to bring victory in today. Verse 22, Moses returned to the Lord. Now Moses goes to God. That's a good decision. He's overwhelmed and he goes to God. When you are overwhelmed, go to God. Be honest and be humble. Moses was honest but not humble. Be honest and humble. Moses says, O Lord, why have you brought trouble upon this people? And he's grieving. He's watching his people being beaten. And he's grieving. God's grieving over this. It's a lament. Grieving is good, healthy, acceptable, fine. Jesus wept at the funeral. God grieves. We grieve. This is the broken part. As he starts, he's pouring out his heart. God, why have you brought this trouble upon this people? Is this why you sent me? Ever since I went to Pharaoh to speak in your name, he has brought trouble upon this people, and you have not rescued your people at all. That's strong, isn't it? Do you just sense Moses pointing a finger at God? These are your people, and you are supposed to rescue. He's heartbroken, and we feel that too. But you need to trust that God is faithful, even when you don't feel like it and it doesn't look like it. There's always going to be a Pharaoh. There's always going to be a Nebuchadnezzar. There's always going to be people who throw God's people in with the lions or the furnace. There's always going to be a Sanballat and Tobiah. For Nehemiah, when he tries to rebuild a city, they're always going to be there. There's always going to be a Herod. There's always going to be corrupt religious leaders and Pharisees and Sadducees. These realities are always going to be there. Don't let it turn you against God or taint your view of God's goodness and faithfulness. And Moses is starting to taste something bitter, and you just want to say to Moses, choose hope. Keep your confidence in God. God's word will stand. Have courage. Have boldness. And it's a reminder in our calling, if you want to be faithful and you want to grow, it's going to be uncomfortable. You will not grow where it's comfortable. And your calling will take you far beyond what's comfortable. If you want to see people set free in Auburn out of doubt and despair and drugs and addiction and broken marriages and adultery and pornography, if you want to see God's hope in Auburn, it's not going to happen. Well, we all just sit and be comfortable and watch it happen. Your calling will take you far out of your comfort zone. If you don't want to grow, then just try to be as comfortable as you can. Because you will achieve comfortable, but you will not achieve growth. And right here, nothing's comfortable for Moses and Aaron, but this is where they're going to grow. This is where they're getting real with God. This is where God's going to bring an inner victory. Your greatest test is usually your own doubts. It's easy to point a finger at Pharaoh and the Israelite foreman, but our greatest, greatest test is what's going on inside. It's our very own doubts. And there's part of us, when it gets difficult, that wants to say, let's just go back to Egypt. Maybe the status quo isn't that bad. Maybe we just try harder to get more bricks without straw. Maybe it was going to be better in slavery than breaking free. And all the deceptions and the lies that just going back to the old sin, like a dog returns to his vomit, we just go back to the old sin. The old traps, the old patterns of the world. No, we're not. We're breaking free. God's going to help us. And we're going to trust the Lord together. In those moments where you start to waver with unbelief and doubt and you're questioning God and His goodness, that's the time to slow down, be silent, be in the community of faith, and listen close to God. That's the time to spend time in His Word, to turn on the worship music, and let God fill you again with His hope and His presence, His perspective. Moses lost perspective because of pain. Pain can ruin your perspective. But now, when spending time with God, God's going to give Moses a word. And this is a word for us. Look at how chapter 6 starts. Two verses. Then the Lord said to Moses, now you will see what I will do to Pharaoh. Because of my mighty hand, he will let them go. When God says that, there's about 100% chance that's going to happen right there. When God tells you a promise in His Word, there's about 100% chance that's going to happen. He will let them go because of my mighty hand. It's not going to be Moses and Aaron in their eloquent speech or their extra effort. No, it's going to be my mighty hand. He will drive them out of His country. God also said to Moses, I am the Lord. What did God just say? I will because I am. Amen. I will because I am. If you're struggling today and you're calling and in the battle and in the light and darkness, you just need to remember God will because God is. And as you align with God and receive His word, your confidence in God is going to grow. Your security is going to grow. Your perseverance is going to grow. There's going to be 10 rounds. This is not a 3-round battle. This is not a 5-round battle. You might be in round 2 right now, 10 rounds. You might be in round 7. You might be in your most difficult round right now. You just need to know God will go the distance. God is going to be there for all 10 rounds because God is unwavering. God is unflappable. God is unrivaled. God is undefeated. And it's wise to put your trust in God and His word. It's God's judgment against Pharaoh's judgment. God's hand against Pharaoh's hand. God's love and freedom against Pharaoh's cruelty. Which side do you want to be on? Who are you going to trust? Moses and Aaron, don't shrink back right now. And there's the reassurance from God. I will because I am. Just because initially it looks difficult, delayed. It looks like darkness is prevailing. There's lots of distractions. Moses, stick with the vision. Stick with the plan. Stick with your calling. Continue to say, let my people go. There's times when ministry gets so challenging. And I went to seminary a long time ago. I'm grateful for those 4 years. solid foundation in scripture and in theology. We all need a solid foundation in the Bible and theology. We're all in full-time ministry. What's interesting in seminary is, as good and thorough as the training is, there's about 1,000 situations that they can't and won't cover. And so day after day, week after week, there's just situations where you say, God, what do you want? Your spirit, your word. You might feel that as a parent. You maybe have listened to the podcast, read the books, gone to the seminars and the conferences, but the situations that you face as a parent, like there's just no manual and you just have to surrender and say, God, lead me by your spirit. I trust your word. Help me today. Help me today. Or maybe it's your career and your job. There's been some things you didn't plan on. You never thought you'd be in this position. You never thought you'd be in this field. You never thought you'd have these coworkers. And you just have to say, God, lead me today. I want to trust you and your word. And where I would come back over and over again in ministry, when things get chaotic and they don't make sense, when darkness rises up, I come back to this. I know what God says. Make disciples. I know what God says. Make disciples. That's the vision for our church. We make disciples. We abide with Jesus and we make disciples. What does it mean to make disciples? It means you build people up in their faith who know the Lord. And for people who don't know the Lord, you lead them to the Lord. You make disciples. And as this world gets crazier and tension picks up in 2024, and pretty soon election stuff just wants to dominate everything, you just keep your peace of mind trusting God and you say, I know what I'm called to do. I'm called to make disciples. That purpose is not going to change in 2024. Jesus said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to him. Go and make disciples, and he is with you to the very end of the age. That promise didn't run out in 2023. He is with you this year. Stay on point. Keep trusting God. That inner victory comes before the outer victory. How many of you know God works internally before he works externally? And the victory in chapter 5, Moses and Aaron are staggering a little bit. Pharaoh delivers hate. Pharaoh doubles down on the darkness. And they went from courage to like, I don't know if we're still supposed to do this. Maybe we should retire. Maybe we just go back to the sheep. I think I'm too tired. This isn't going how I want it. This is more difficult than I thought. And they are just retreating and retreating and retreating. They're turning into grasshoppers in chapter 5. I don't want any grasshoppers in this church. Nobody's a grasshopper. And the turning point is chapter 6. And God says, I will because I am. That's a good report. It's a true report from God. May God give us our confidence back. The sound you hear at the beginning of chapter 6, Moses and Aaron are getting their confidence back in God. Amen. Nothing's more powerful than you to be filled with God's Spirit, and your confidence in God and his word is strong. God equips you. Shine the light in the darkness. No darkness, no bully has the final say. Trust the Lord. Walk by faith. Let's give the Lord praise. This is a time of decision and prayer. These are the decisions we highlight almost every week. If you want to follow Jesus for the first time, you text the church phone number, follow. We have got a great team that's going to walk with you, care for you. If you want to get baptized, you text the word baptism. You want to be part of this church family, just text the word membership. You want to get in a life group. I think there's 600-700 people in groups meet every week for prayer, for scripture, growing in your faith. Just text group. You want to serve. That's our impact team. Again, hundreds and hundreds of people. More people in this room are serving. Just keeps more and more every week. Want to serve. Want to use our gifts. Make a difference. Within these walls and then beyond these walls in the community. You just text the word how God leads you. And you make that next step decision. And I want to pray right now. Father, thanks how you guide us individually and you're guiding us together. This is not just about the me, it's about the we. And God, we thank you that you love your people. You love us so much. You're so committed to us that you want us to have freedom. Freedom from the lies. Freedom from the traps of sin that wants to master us. Freedom from the oppressors and the bullies. Freedom from the lies in the deception, God. Freedom from the small thinking or the going backwards thinking or the wilderness thinking. God, set us free today. Thank you for our calling, God. Thank you for saving us. Thank you for filling our lives with purpose, God. Thank you for all the faith in this room and the gifts in this room, God. Thank you, God, that your calling is irrevocable. Thank you that your calling is strong and that you will accomplish everything you promise. That you who began a good work in us is faithful to complete it. And today we're saying yes to you, God, from this passage. You're building up confidence that we have in you and in your word, so we won't shrink back. We won't be silent. We won't be grasshoppers, but we believe your good report and we say yes to you together. God, for all the victories that are going to happen this week, as we take back peace and love and purity, as we take back spiritual victories, as we take back and we think about our families and the battles, God, as we take ground for you, God, in this city, as you are glorified more and more, God, I see it. It's not a one round or a two round. This is 10 rounds. And I thank you that in each round, God, you're showing yourself mighty and that you will prevail. God, take the ground and we will follow and trust you. And we commit this to you. We will give you all the thanks. We will share our stories. We will rely on you. We will build each other up. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.